I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We welcome you to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the salvation of the lost and the revival of God's people. I'm Alan Mashburn, your Bible teacher and the pastor of Asbury Baptist Church, located at 218 Asbury Church Road in Seagrove, North Carolina. We invite you to visit our church at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. On Sunday evenings, we provide online services which can be viewed on gospeldynamite.org. Now please join me in the study of the Word of God. You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us this morning as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. The Bible says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." In the first phrase of verse 17, there's a word that beckons our attention. And it beckons our attention to look backward. It's the word therefore. And anytime you see therefore in Scripture, it's a good idea to stop and see what it's there for. Now, this word calls our minds back to what Paul has been teaching us about our high calling in Christ Jesus. Because we have been given all the benefits that he mentioned in verses 1 through 16, we are not to act like the lost, to be like the lost, or the pagan Gentiles who live around us. The benefits that Paul is speaking about is the very ones that he covered in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Salvation by grace through faith, our unity in the body of Christ, the unique gifting by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord and His church for His glory, and our being built up through the ministries of gifted individuals given to the church in verses 11 through 16. Today we look at renewing our mind. This is important for every believer to understand from the scriptural standpoint. In verses 17 through 19, Paul describes that we should be different. We who have been saved are no longer like we were. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 that we are new creations, new creatures created in Christ Jesus. And as a result of new birth, we're not what we used to be, and we can no longer live like we used to, because we've been changed and we are different from the world around us. And Paul's challenge here is to mark the differences between the children of God and the children of the devil. Paul says the lost walk in the vanity of their minds. The word vanity means futility. It means emptiness, that which is wasted on nothing. The lost live empty lives because their minds are corrupted by the inborn sin that dwells within them. Thus, every thought is corrupted by evil. The lost mind invents ways to serve its flesh or the selfish desires of their minds. The lost mind invents false gods, false religions, and foolish philosophies that are designed to showcase man's brilliance. Yet the inventions of the lost mind are empty of anything helpful, and they ultimately damn the soul of man. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." In another passage in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, Paul tells us that the lost possess a reprobate mind. This refers to a depraved nature. This word was used to describe metals that were tested and rejected by refiners because they were too impure. The word came to mean useless and worthless. So the unbeliever has a problem in his mind. His mind is depraved and therefore incapable of producing anything but thoughts that are useless and worthless. Because we are saved, we are to be different. Now in verse 18, the Bible describes that there's a problem with their hearts. Paul says that their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The word blindness refers to stubbornness. It speaks of a heart confronted with truth, but refuses to embrace that truth. It's what Paul refers to in Romans 1 in verse 18 when he mentions those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold is the word oppress. It speaks of those who hear the truth, they know the truth, but they refuse to acknowledge and embrace the truth. Because of the stubbornness of their hearts, they are separated from the life that could be theirs in Jesus Christ, and they remain trapped in the darkness and the depravity of their condition. Whether we like it or not, the lost are dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. The human race did not merely get sick when Adam sinned. According to Romans 5 and verse 12, the human race died. And in that dead and depraved state, the lost live for nothing but to gratify the lust of the flesh and the mind, Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3. And in that state, their understanding is darkened. The phrase is in perfect participle in Greek. It means that the lost live in a continuing state of spiritual darkness and ignorance toward the things of God. Thus, since they are dead, they are unresponsive to the things of God. They are like a cold, immobile corpse, which can neither see, hear, feel, or think. They are dead because they are alienated from the life of God. They are unmoved by the truth, and they are unfazed by matters of right and wrong. They love the dark, and they pursue the works of darkness. And Paul says, because we are saved, we are to be different. Because we're saved, the very life of God defines us. It empowers us. We are not dead to truth, but we love the truth and long to live the truth daily in our life. We are not in darkness as is the world. But according to 1 John 1 and verse 7, we walk in the light as He is in the light. We are not like them, so we must not be like them. Not only is there a problem with their heart, but according to verse 19, there's a problem with their hands. Because the lost are dead, they are said to be past feeling. That phrase means that they have lost their sense of pain. It's used in the sense of not being bothered in their conscience by the things that they do. They are like the leper who suffers horrible disfigurement and loss of fingers, toes, and other extremities because their ability to feel pain is taken away. Thus, they don't even know when they hurt. and their injuries fester and destroy their lives. The lost sinner commits his life to evil, and as he does, he loses his sensitivity towards sin. And this leads to ever deepening levels of wickedness. They yield their lives to lasciviousness. The word speaks of wanton sensuality. It's an attitude that says, I will do what I please, when I please, with whom I please, and I don't care what anyone says or thinks about it. It is a life given over to open sin. Thus the sinner works all uncleanness. The word work in the text means to work hard, to take pains, to do their best. Uncleanness speaks of impurity and rottenness. The idea here is that the lost person works hard at their sinning. He gives himself actively to the pursuit of rottenness. He does his best to be as bad as he can be. And that is an accurate description of our world today. The lost all around us work themselves to death in the pursuit of their pleasure, never realizing that their wickedness and corruption is doing nothing but increasing their guilt in the eyes of a holy God. They are past feeling, and they don't care. And they do this with all greediness. And this simply means that he does what he does for self-gratification. In other words, he is his own God and he lives to worship himself. His worship of self involves gratifying all the base, evil desires of the flesh and the mind. And they give themselves over to the lust that drive them, and they do it for their own benefit, never stopping to consider the truth that their endless pursuit of wickedness will end with them in hell for all eternity. This is how the lost live every day. And the saints of God are to be different. But in verses 20 and 21, we're to be discerning as well. While we are to avoid being like the lost, we're to strive to be like our Savior. Having told us what we should not be, Paul now teaches us what we should be. The lost are motivated by their lust. We're to be motivated by our Lord. Paul holds Jesus Christ up against the backdrop of the sinfulness and wickedness of this lost world, and the contrast could not be greater. The phrase, learned Christ, refers to being saved. As I've already said, when he saved us, he changed us. He made us like himself. He delivered us from being like the world. Fulfilling the sins of the flesh is no longer our creed and standard of living. Jesus Christ is our standard of living. He's our example. We're not to allow the flesh and its base wicked desire control us any longer, but we're to take Jesus for our example and to walk in holiness and newness of life. When a person claims to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and still lives like the world, they're either deceiving themselves or they are a liar. Listen to the Word of God. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The born again believer strives to be like Christ, discerning the way he walked from what the Bible teaches and by how the Spirit of God leads within. This will produce a life that's vastly different from the life lived in sin. This results in a life that is pleasing to the Father, one that emulates Christ in this world. Christ is not only our example, but he's our educator. The redeemed are no longer ignorant and trapped in the death and delusion of their sins. The redeemed have heard his voice. They have been taught his truth. They have been brought out of death into life. They have been placed on a different path. They have been taught, and as a result, they have been changed by the power of God. And when Christ came to us, he brought with him knowledge and truth. He taught us the truth about God himself, his Spirit, heaven, hell, sin, salvation, life, death, faith, righteousness, judgment, the purpose of life. We're no longer in the dark. We now walk in the light. Jesus has taught us truth, and his truth has made us free. So we're to be different from the lost world around us. We're to be discerning and learn all that we can from our Lord Jesus. God wants us to be different. God wants us to be discerning. But in verses 22 through 24, God desires us to be decisive. Since we have been changed by the power of God, and since we've been taught the truth about God in Christ, we are to make some active changes in our lives. The three actions that Paul mentions in these three verses, verse 22, put off. Verse 23, be renewed. Verse 24, put on, are not just commands for the believer. They are actually statements of fact. Each of these statements refer to what the Lord has done for us when he saved us. We are reminded of what he did so that every step we take, we ensure that each of these conditions is an active reality in our lives day by day. Verse 22, there's something to renounce. The phrase put off means to strip away. It's the image of taking off dirty clothes. The old man is dirty, corrupt, and filthy. He was stripped off when we were converted. And we're to be sure he remains stripped off. The old man of sin remains alive and well within each and every one of us. If you don't believe that, look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. The old man is deceitful. He's filled with lust. He's ever growing more corrupt. And the old nature is like a corpse rotting in the sun. It grows more vile and more wicked and more evil every day. And if we're not careful, he will enslave us in our old habits and ways of living that the Lord delivered us from when he saved us. The Romans were known to take a murderer and stake him down to the ground. Then they would place the body of his victim on top of him, face to face, hand to hand, foot to foot. And as the corpse rotted, corruption would eat into the murderer and destroy his life. That's the way the flesh operates. Its depravity eats into our lives, and if it's not kept under control, it will destroy our lives. We must be decisive each day and reckon the old man dead to sin, but ourselves alive to God through our union with Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and verse 11. So verse 22, there's something to renounce, but also in verse 23, there's something to renew. The lost sinner has a mind that is given over to vanity or futility. The sinner's mind gives itself over to things that are empty of value and result in judgment and hell. The saint of God, on the other hand, is to walk with a renewed mind. When the Lord saved us, he made us alive in Christ. John 5, 24, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Part of that new life involves a renewing of the mind. Our dead minds that were given over to vanity were made alive, and we were enabled to think differently. We are to walk each day differently, having our minds renewed by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. The fact that God literally changed our minds when he saved us gives us the ability to live different lives from the world around us. And the Christian life begins in the mind. When the thinking is changed, the life is changed. When our minds are set on things above, not on the things of this world, our lives will follow the direction of the mind. Thus, we should strive each day to fulfill Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, which says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we can ever get our minds right, our lives will be right. It is our thinking that either sets us on a right path or puts us on the path to trouble. In the end, everything comes back to how you think about it. If your mind is right, the rest of life will follow the course set by your mind. The mind of the lost man will lead him ever farther away from God and ever deeper into sin. The mind of the saved man, however, will lead him ever closer to God and ever deeper in holiness. We must be decisive in taking control of the mind. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Verse 24 of our text. There's something to reveal. Just as we're to strip off the old man of sin, we're to put on the new man who's created in righteousness and true holiness. This new holy man was born in us when we were saved. When he was created, we were given the ability to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. When he saved us, he made us a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The new creation loves Christ, and he loves the things of God. He desires to serve the Lord, and he's been empowered to walk in the will of the Lord for the glory of God. Our responsibility is to let this man out. Paul says that this new man, which after God is created, the phrase literally means that the new man was made in the likeness of God. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he marred the image of God in which he had been created. He passed his sin and his warped nature down to all his offspring. When we were saved, we're created, recreated in the likeness of God himself. We are made partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. This new man is literally Christ who lives in me, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Folks, listen, we're not perfect, but we have been changed. We've been given all that we need to live lives of righteousness and true holiness before the Lord. Thus, we must actively yield ourselves to the Spirit of God within us and allow him to walk in us day by day. We must no longer walk in the rags of our sin. We must decisively put off the old man of sin, put on the new man who is made in the likeness and the image of God. Will you do that? Will you honor Christ with that? Honor Christ with your body. Honor Christ with your mind. The reason why we have the foolishness and the chaos in the world is because of how we think. Satan has done everything he can to mar our thinking. God says, if you think like me, everything will work out fine. Let's think like Christ. And how we do that is we bathe ourselves in the Word of God.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.